All right, well, I hope this is recording, and if not, well, it'll be just a nice chat to have.
Right. So,
yeah, we've been trying since an hour ago to try and get a show. There's just been one thing after the other, but hopefully this will be the final solution. And, yeah, we wanted to finish up our discussion from 2 weeks ago, not last week, because you were on the road. But the week before that, talking about witchcraft, and we kind of we didn't really get into the Inquisition and also modern day witch hunts that are still going on to this day. So, yeah, we just kind of wanted to tie that up, and yeah, hopefully people will be able to listen to it later.
Okay. I guess did you want to go back into history first and then kind of build our way up?
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay. All right. So, I have, well, the one paper you sent me, I was reading through, which is really, really good. And then I was going to pull a little bit from a paper I wrote back in college, which now looking at it and comparing it to the paper you sent me is kind of terrible. But oh well. So, but the main thing I want to pull from this is that I'm going to talk a little bit about the Malleus Maleficarum and also this contrary text that was written by this guy named Johann Weyer, who was combating the Catholic Church. From a scientific and logical perspective of why we shouldn't be burning old ladies, midwives. So. Which is really interesting, because I think he wrote that book in like 1534, I'm going to say. Malleus Maleficarum was written in 1486 by Heinrich Kramer and James Sprenger. So, for those of you who don't know, Malleus Maleficarum was a manual for witch hunts. It translates to the witch's hammer, and it has everything in it from mass assumptions, signs to look for, questions that should be asked, methods of torture, and final punishments. So I guess I'll go over some of the things that they would look for and claim about witches, who we know most of them were midwives and herbalists in these communities. Well, first of all, there was a deep fear, they say. Okay, so one of the things that's in the beginning of this book is it says that some of the first points that Kramer and Sprenger make is that they assume midwives are connected to the devil and ultimately the arts of witchcraft. The text states that women may be offered to devils by midwives as infants. And then they generally outline how women are wicked. So they even a sort of trail off from just focusing on, oh, these sinister witches that are in cahoots with the devil, and go into saying this. this was in the book as well, stated by a S. John Chrysostom, saying, it is not good to marry. What else is a woman but a foe to friendship, an escapable punishment, a necessary evil, natural temptation, a desirable calamity, a domestic danger, a delectable deterrent, an evil of nature paired with fared colors.
Oh, how nice.
I know, I feel touched. So, basically, women are beautiful and dangerous and cunning, and it's interesting that they feel this way, because another thing that was stated in this lovely Witch's Hammer book is that despite the fact marriage was encouraged and these sort of and it became a religious institution at this time, the church simultaneously saw that if a man was committing marital infidelity, it was considered normal, and the church saw prostitution as a necessary evil. And then the paper that you sent me, it's interesting that they approve of a quote such like female pollution because this one person named Mary Daly in the other paper says in the gynecological age, as in the past, women are identified as filthy and impure and brings the most radical sense. That is, we are stigmatized as ontologically impure and are therefore targets of hatred on this fundamental and all-pervasive level. Ultimately, the intent of gynecologists is to purify women, society, and ourselves. And, yeah. Of course, we know that what happened from this era is that, that we'll get into later, is that all these medical practices from midwives were usurped. And I think that sums it up really well as to why. I mean, back in the Middle Ages, it was believed that if a menstruating woman touched a fresh ham, that it would rot.
Oh, my God.
So, there's some really interesting ideas out there. But in the same vein, prostitution was considered a necessary evil by the Catholic Church. So,
right.
Yeah, great, right? And they also, you know, just in terms of who they were targeting a lot of times it was older women and widows who didn't have any family. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty crazy because, you know, it wasn't just, granted, this was ignited by a Semitic religion to go after these people and do this stuff, but it was amazing how the townspeople would gather and go for it too, and they themselves would also make accusations.
Their own children were forced to report on and watch the torture of their mothers, and
yeah.
You know, and this would scare the crap out of them for the rest of their lives. So they would never. Oh my God, I will never ever try and heal another person. I don't want to be burnt or boiled alive or dismembered. And so that really had a deep psychological effect on young girls. It's just really hard to believe that this even, well, it's still happening today. It's just, it looks a little bit different. No one's being burnt at the stake, but,
right.
Yeah,
but
we'll
this was
that.
Just so outright. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a town in Germany where, almost every single person in the village was killed except four and two of them were priests. I mean, they just, including children. Yeah. I mean, even as you said, the kids were either subjected to watching it or they themselves were killed. I mean, and we're talking kids as young as like 3 and 4. I've read some of these court cases. It's just amazing.
It's really crazy.
Yeah. And so much of it is rooted, you know, as I said, in Semitic religions, like over and over again in Malleus Maleficarum, they hammer it into you that, oh, original sin, original sin, original sin, you know, Eve set all this up. And, isn't there something in the Bible? Somebody told me this. I've never read the thing. That
me neither.
It's true. Punishment for Eve's original sin is to have pain during childbirth.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
That's something that I've always known was taught in the Bible.
Okay.
Most people you talk to, even if they're not super religious, they know that that was her punishment for eating the fruit from the tree of knowledge. So,
right. And women can't have knowledge. That's exactly what this was about too. Like these women had knowledge of maybe not always apples, but you know, all the other, plants and astronomy and
Absolutely.
Seasons
Cycles.
And everything.
Yep.
Yeah. Everything that was out in the natural world. And it's just all too funny that that's how that story goes.
Right.
And how they used it a couple thousand years later to literally run around and mass murder people. And some of them were men, granted, but the majority of them were women. It's sometimes their children. So, hold on. Sorry, I got so much.
No, that's fine. It's great. I really enjoyed this paper as well. I just thought it was really to the point. You know, it wasn't that long. It's probably, what, 2 pages, but it just really explains it all very simply, and it made a lot of sense. I could also maybe post it. The only thing I disagree with in the paper is comparing the Inquisition to Hitler's crimes. So
oh,
if we
yeah,
just
yeah.
kind of like X that out. The whole thing is great.
That part.
So just discard that. I'll post it in the chat later. But yeah, that's the only thing I disagreed with in the paper. All the rest was very good.
And here's another interesting chapter from Malleus Maleficarum, part 6. It says, the chapter is called "That Witches Who Are Midwives in Various Ways Kill the Child Conceived in the Womb and Procure an Abortion, or if they do not, this offer... do not offer this newborn child to devils." So that goes back once again to pointing out how, you know, medicine is bad. I mean, women have always used and always will use emagogic herbs. I mean, that will never stop. I mean, you know, despite all the craziness surrounding the dogma of abortion clinics and how they operate and the people who run around screaming about it outside of college campuses all the time. Yeah, there's a lot of this controlled opposition about women's bodies there. And it's like, but when it comes down to it, it's like, yeah, women are always going to seek these things. They have since the beginning of time. It will never stop. So to run around and pretend that you're fully pro-life, it's kind of a joke because that's exactly what these women were doing. And they wanted to control that as well as I'm sure lesser known herbs that would just control conception in general. I mean, There was an herb in ancient Greece that is now known to be extinct because it was used so frequently.
Is that to abort a pregnancy, an early pregnancy, or?
No, it worked as a contraceptive.
Oh, gotcha.
So even better. So you wouldn't have to go through a conception and then having to go through the process of losing it and blah, blah, blah. So I guess that was considered wonderful. So it got used that frequently to stop that from even happening that it's no longer around. So then I had a paper on that somewhere I meant to dig up. But what does it say? So midwives, basically, they were either causing abortions or they were giving babies to devils. And it's probably not much different from today. And the most absurd chapter that I noted in the Malleus Maleficarum is part 2, chapter 8. How art were they deprived man of his virile member. So I take a couple things from what this chapter means. But how they discuss it in this literal sense is that they word it as if there is a removal of a penis through magic by wicked women or witches. Based on the story of a young man from Ratisbon, who, after an encounter with a girl he had an interest in, lost his penis when it broke off, when he broke off their relationship. So, don't break up with your evil witch girlfriend. She will steal.
You'll lose your penis. Or, you know what, that reminds me. That reminds me of the whole vagina dentata thing, you know? Where, you know, women's vaginas are, like, scary and they have teeth and they're going to chop off your penis.
They will bite you.
Yeah. And, like, you better not trust her because you might lose your penis.
Right. Exactly. And then apparently how after he tracked her down and how she reattached it is she simply put her hand between his legs and it reattached. So she's got magical powers to take it off and remove it. So I guess they thought this was real, and it's like, no, this just a psychopath.
Right, and what a great way to get men just completely fearing women. That, you know, of course, no man wants to lose his penis. That's his, you know, that's his masculinity. Like, that's, you know, so if you instill that fear in young men, oh, my gosh, they're just going to, hey, there you go. You have a bunch of homos running around after that, people afraid of women, and we still have that today.
Yeah. Or because we're talking about, like, the, I don't want to say body politic, talking about the bodily freedom and natural state of women that, all right, so it seems like there's this double-edged sword with it. It's like they're either completely terrified or they're just whores. Because they were proving of prostitution. And even today, what they're doing in hospitals, like, they're literally controlling women's processes of birth. They're controlling the children's bodies. Yeah, yep. They're controlling the children's bodies and what happens to them with vaccines and circumcision. Or in a wider cultural spectrum, men continue to treat women like prostitutes. Like, actually, my friend that I made in this is just a burning example that's been making me want to scream for the past couple of days. My friend that I made on the bus when we got stranded in Philly.
Oh yeah,
Yeah. So my parents got her back to Baltimore, and you know, I went home, and she needed to get her car at the car lot down in D.C. So she stayed at a friend's in Baltimore for the night. And then I just talked to her, like 2 days ago, I texted her. And she said that one of her friends couldn't give her a ride. And the friend she stayed with had to work because it was a Monday. So her friend's friend took her down to D.C. And the entire way, I guess because he was driving her, he insisted that she give him roadhead and then continued to harass her for a couple days, sending her pictures of his dick.
Oh my God. What the? I don't understand why anybody would even think that would work.
Yeah.
Maybe it has, though. I don't know.
So there's some kind of bizarre entitlement, too. Like, there's a fear and then there's an entitlement. And it's like, how do we, like, get back in the middle here?
That's two extremes.
Yeah. And this kind of stuff happens all the time. I mean, it was amazing. Like, she was trying to get a hold of, like, friends when we were, like, on the subway in Philly trying to, like, get around the city and running around everywhere. And they were like, oh, yeah, I'll help you, sexy. Like, it was just stuff like that. It was just, like, never ending. And I was really glad that, like, we had each other through this whole thing. And that, you know, my family was like, you know, don't take your knife on the trip. Like, the bus police are going to find it.
Please.
And I'm like, yeah, I took it. And you know what? I'm glad I did, because when it came down to it, it was just me and this chick in this situation.
Philly.
Yeah, in Philly. And they dumped us off in a muddy alley. So if that doesn't tell you that it's like you have to owe people something.
Yeah, that's very disturbing to me. Has she even, I mean, not that it would make it okay for this guy to ask for these things or, you know, treat her this way, but had she even met this guy before, or did he just think, okay, you're a woman and I'm doing you a favor, so you need to do me a favor?
she met him like once, and I'm like, wow, what a gentleman. Like, this is
is obligated to stay in the car, because how, I mean, she, what is she gonna do, just hop out in the middle of the highway and have another creeper pick her up? I mean, it's just a really terrible situation for anybody to have to be in. It's really disgusting to me.
Yeah, it is. And that's another thing about, like, what these, and I'm sure these were circles, like covens of healing women that worked either in families or small communities. There's power in that. And there's protection in that. And they want to break that down. And even today, in regard to birth situations, in regard to situations in life, women just don't support each other anymore, because this was an old circle that was broken so long ago. Like, once Semitic religions came in and swept through Europe, I mean, it just took us down, and that's
literally
Right. So it was like, despite all the bullshit that came with that, when she was trying to, like, reach out for a little bit of help for us, like, at the end of the day, I'm like, all right, when it comes down to it, like, don't play damsel in distress. Like, go find some other chicks and, like, try to reignite what we once had, you know?
Yeah. And that's so sad that, well, it's because this culture that we live in. I think that if we were to live in, you know, a culture of Aryan women and men, you would approach any, you know, man and ask for help, and he would help you out of the goodness of his heart, and he wouldn't expect a blowjob. Sorry to be so crass, but he wouldn't expect that for helping out a woman, helping out another man. I mean, that's just what we would do as people. But when you have this disgusting degenerate culture, you're totally right. Playing damsel in distress is you're just like a target. You're just like you're ready to be trapped and abused. It's really sad.
But. Yeah, and I mean, even in even people who, like, claim themselves to you know, function under these ideologies that we're, you know, discussing every week and on this network, like, I mean, even And I appreciated this so much. And everybody, for the most part, tried to be really helpful and really nice. But Dana posted something on his Facebook that same day, seeing if anyone around, like, Philly, you know, could help me and this girl out. And
somebody, like, is she hot?
Yeah. And he deleted that, you know, because it was gross. But yeah, exactly. It's like, that was one of the first comments. Really? That was like, really? Really? Yeah. You're so honorable. Like, this is why we have not enough children, because when guys act like that, yeah, it's not worth our time. And I'm not saying there aren't terrible girls too, but it's like,
right,
you can have a really nice, solid woman who's just trying to be out in the world and just talk to people and maybe even meet somebody, and then they treat you like you're a hooker.
Totally. Yeah, it's not like a male problem. It's just a people problem right now. And
yeah,
you know, a lot of people are very sick. And
yeah,
you know, it's not like, oh, it's all the man's fault. I never, ever, ever want anybody to think I'm saying that, because we are not. We love men. We love real men. We
real love ones.
So much, you know, and we need them. We need
exactly.
them. We need them for protection. We need them for stability. Not that we aren't stable people, but they have a different quality of stability that we don't have and that we love and need and want. So, yeah, I just always want to get that point across, because some people still think that we're like these radical feminists. I don't know what we need to do to get that across to people. I'm not even going to waste any more energy on it, but I do like to make that a point that, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's just like, be an actual real man is all.
Right. And, you know, I understand that you can be attracted to a woman, and obviously, you know, we all have physical attractions to each other, but some things are just better left unsaid. You know, you can think it in your head, like, oh, I wonder if she's cute. You know, maybe I'll meet a really cute girl when I go to help her out. But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, let things naturally progress.
Right. And have a woman, and let her kind of approach you. Not that it's, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to, like, give relationship advice. But just
love line with Sinead.
Yeah, right. Dr. Sinead.
All right.
But just use common sense and have respect, because if you show a little bit of respect for a woman, that doesn't mean you can't, like, try to kiss her or something, you know, but just don't ask for things because you're doing her a favor, and I don't know, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, don't be like, hey, nice tits. Like,
right,
no,
exactly.
We're going to run away.
Obviously, that works for some people, though. Obviously, some women respond to that, but I don't think any woman of real quality or strength or confidence in herself would ever, ever want anybody to say that to her. Not, you know what, maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm a prude or something. I don't know.
No.
But if anyone said to me, I'd be deeply offended. I don't even like tits. I hate that word. When I say it, my whole body cringes. I
know. I didn't like saying it, but like in a joking manner sometimes.
Right. Of course.
It just fits.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, I guess then we can segue into your material. I just want to say a little bit about the torture devices they were using.
Oh, please get into it, because it's people need to know. I'm sure most people listening know, but it's just so barbaric and disgusting.
Yeah. Well, first of all, one of the first things they would look for on a witch, well, first of all, when they got her, they would strip her naked, and they would shave all her body hair off.
So sick.
I know. And they did that so they could look for a witch's teat, which could be a freckle, a mole, a blemish.
What?
It could be anything. Yeah. And that was the sign of the devil.
Oh, well, I'm screwed because I have freckles all over me.
Yeah, I got freckles and moles and yep. We are of Satan. And it's like I'm thinking, I'm like, wow, who has completely pure, smooth skin with absolutely nothing on it, not even a freckle? Well, no one. So, like, that screwed everybody.
Right.
So, first of all, they would do that. And then some other things, that, you know, of course, they would ask them insane questions. They'd be like, when did the devil come to you? What was his guise? Did you copulate with Satan? Blah, blah, blah. Like, there was that whole stream of things. Did you eat this baby? I mean, crazy
shit.
Did you make so-and-so's crops die, animals die. That's why they have a target a lot of times, like these old ladies, like an old widowed lady could be living next door to somebody and some of his cattle die. That's what I mean. The community itself started participating in this insanity, and he would be like, Miss Bragan Smith, whatever. She killed all my cattle with her evil magic. And it would go from there. So they would just, you know, everybody, they just had to have a scapegoat for their problems.
Right, right.
And not understanding, and I'm sure they were more connected to the natural world than we were still today. But they were at this time, especially when the villagers were starting to revolt against their own healers and people, they were so warped by the religious system that was put in place that they weren't going to understand why their crops or cattle died. Like, it could have been simply the universe speaking to them, or something that they did of their own error that they couldn't live up to as somebody who was growing their own food. So
right.
It just became, you know, like how a lot of religious people are. It's a system of victimhood and not
right.
being responsible for yourself or being strong in yourself. So that just, it just set this whole tone. So then you would get these crazy accusations, and of course it was all pervy. It's like, oh, you're having sex with Satan. And, sorry. And then, you know, some other things that they would do is they had these, you can look all these instruments up. They would have this thing that was like four or five metal pieces that was shaped like kind of a pear, and they would call it pairing, and they would use it either oral, anally, or vaginally, and they put this metal pear-shaped thing, and it had a spike on the end of it, and then it had some sort of lever where it would open up, and they would call it pairing. Really disgusting stuff. I know this is really disturbing, and I'm sorry for upsetting anyone.
No, but you know what?
It
needs to be talked about because it is upsetting and it's disgusting.
It's absolutely disgusting things they did to people. Judas Chair. A lot of people know about Judas Chair. It's this triangle.
Yeah.
That's very sharp and metal, and they'd sit people on it. And they had the chairs with the nails. They had the boards and wheels where they'd attach people, and they would literally pull them apart. Sometimes they would literally pull them apart till they died. Not just till ligaments or bones broke, but until they just literally ripped in half. They would disembowel people. I mean, really disgusting, really sinister stuff. It's like, you know,
like,
you're talking about evil witches. It's like, that's some like dark magic shit
that,
right there.
Well,
and
it's,
yeah.
I mean, they're talking about how these women are so evil. Okay, yeah, if they really are, take them out, shoot them in the head, or hang them, you know, quick death. Not that I'm condoning to kill these women. But, okay, if you were really wanting to solve an evil element within your community, boom, done, over. No, but these women were tortured, and men in some cases, were tortured in the most disgusting, barbaric ways possible. So who's really the evil one here, okay? Like everything, it's been flipped upside down, and it's just, oh, God, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of person could even invent a device like this, a torture device? A very sick, evil person, in my opinion. Oh, my God,
yeah.
these women were eating different plants. Holy crap. Oh, but let's go rip their bodies in half and boil them alive, because we're the good ones. We're just trying to help everybody.
Right. They're just trying to create a pure world by disemboweling people and torturing them.
Aw, they're such humanitarians.
I know. I just, I can feel God's love.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, really, when you look at it, like, the Catholic Church, I mean, they are a cult.
Yeah.
And look at the amount of child abuse. I know, like, generally we talk about other Semitic groups, but we really have to be critical of these guys, too, and people tend to forget about it a little bit. And it's still going on today. It's just less murders and more quietness and pedophilia, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but it's still there. It's the same like bad energy just being inflicted on people in disgusting ways and causing chaos.
Yeah,
really.
And a real hatred for women. Just, you know, they are considered to just be disgusting creatures to be trusted, and you know, they're just, and even if they are beautiful, well, don't enjoy that beauty, because really she's just trying to trick you. You know, she's going to use her good looks and her charm and beauty to you know, chop off your penis or something, you know?
Right. Right.
Don't even
exactly.
enjoy that. You know, don't even enjoy her beauty because it's just there to trick you. Ha ha ha.
Right. And like that other paper that you sent me, like it says some of the other accusations to structure the burnings were women were sexual beings, women were organized,
yes.
Women had magical effects on health. Mm-hmm. So, you know, don't let them do anything good or look pretty, just kill them. So, yeah, and that's exactly what it was. I mean, you have these repressed psychopathic creeps working in the Catholic Church who can't have these women. If they do, they have prostitutes. They do God knows what to. And then, so, you know, it was enjoyable. Like, the, you know, this.
Right. Well, this
pure
is.
Sadism.
Yeah. And this is really interesting, just reading from that kind of same segment of the paper you were just reading from. Apparently, all witchcraft comes from carnal lust, which in women is insatiable. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
The church was also anti-sensual, sensuality being the work of the devil, and witches drew on empirical senses, example given, smell, taste, feel. Oh, my God, women were feeling things. They were sensual. Oh, we can't have that. We cannot have that. That is the devil's work right there. Feeling? Oh, jeez, no. No, no, no.
Right. And that's like, and that those are like major aspects of medicine, like how to treat people. Like in other medical traditions, including old Europe, even until relatively recent times, Ukrainian doctors, part of their training was to smell, because they just didn't have all the technology, which was good probably, to smell out what diseases cause somebody's comas. Yep. Like, that was part of their medical school training. And in Chinese medicine, some practitioners still diagnose with smell and different feelings that they feel on areas of the body and meridian channels and stuff like that.
You get so much from that. And that's, again, that's using that more of intuitive knowledge than, say, doing an x-ray, mm-hmm. an ultrasound, a biopsy. This is all very intrusive and... I really don't know what word I'm looking for, but I hope that makes sense. Whereas, more of an intuitive healing, you don't have to cut something open to then, you know, shine a light on it and do a biopsy, take it, rip it from the body. You intuitively can heal from within using herbs, using, energy healing, using body healing. I mean, we've just gone in the complete opposite direction from intuitive healing. And now it's all lights and magnifying glasses and cutting open of the body. I really don't think that's ever, not in all cases, but I really don't think it's really that necessary to cut into the body as much as we do today.
No, not at all. And it just shows that we went from like a pagan-based medicine, and I mean worldwide, based in life, based in moving, active, breathing bodies, to people literally digging up dead bodies against the church, even though the church had everything to do with it. That's suspicious to me. And, you know, digging up dead bodies and studying the dead, not studying the living, breathing person. And that's, and as you said, like, look what they do. Like, with birth, I mean, that's constructed around surgery, around trauma, around injury, nothing to do with a natural state.
Not at all. It's all about cutting open, biopsies. I mean, amniocentesis, this is just such a barbaric practice that I can't believe any woman would ever even allow to happen to herself. But it's a perfect example of how women have totally thrown away their intuition and any sense of a... autonomy over their body and any kind of just respect for themselves. But basically, amniocentesis is I don't really know when they perform it in a woman's pregnancy, but usually when she's her belly's pretty big, and they take a needle and they stick it in her stomach, which goes into the amniotic sac, goes into the womb, the baby's home. Like no thought to, oh, maybe this needle might hit the baby. I'm sure they have an ultrasound going at the same time to kind of see, but who's to say that that's safe, because it's not. And then they extract the fluid from the baby's home, which is sacred fluid in my opinion, and then go test it. And they get so many false positives with all of these stupid
tests. Yeah.
So they scare the crap out of women saying, you need to abort this baby. He's going to be born with no face, or he's going to be born retarded and deformed. And women a lot of the times will listen and abort that baby, which is an extremely traumatic procedure. I know even they have, I don't know if they still do this, but they had late term abortions that you could go to a hospital and get, and they would basically take a needle again and inject the saline solution into the womb, which would essentially scald the baby to death. And some babies have actually lived through this process.
Oh, my God.
Talk about, I mean, and this is about months. Okay, so this baby is fully developed. It could actually, at 37 weeks, a baby is term and can be born fine and is ready to go. So, yeah, that's great. We have people killing babies in the womb. I mean, it's just, it's really sick. I mean, we can get into more of the modern day because these witch hunts are still going on. It just looks different. And that was just a long time ago. And, oh, things are so much better now. But they're still going on. We're not being burnt at the stake, but we're being thrown away in jail. We're being written off as crazy by other women as well, which is really sad to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, in that paper, this is like early modern medicine, but it gives you like the gateway to like everything else going on now. I heard about this guy years ago and was really shocked. He's considered the father of gynecology, which, oh my God, the father of gynecology. That makes so much sense for a man to know so much about women's bodies. His name is Marion Sims. And this was during the 19th century. He was American. Came up with surgery techniques without any anesthesia, and he developed the speculum, and he was doing these experiments on slave women.
Oh, yeah, you told me, yeah, I think I might have read about that, or you told me about that. So they were basically, well, that's all that a pregnant birthing woman in a hospital is these days. She's a lab rat, she's an experiment.
Yeah.
Doing tests on these women, they have been since they moved birth to the hospitals, and gynecology and obstetrics became a professionalized profession.
Right. And in the same era of time, just in general, like you know, there was the whole the hysteria movement, so they were medicalizing female natural desires, and also in that like Victorian era, they had weird devices they would use to stop teenagers from masturbating. They had like little cages for like boys' genitals, and like they clitoridectomies were pretty common in the United States if a child was taken to a lovely therapist. And they would do a clitoridectomy, and people always attribute that to like, oh, that only happens in Africa and the Middle East. Actually, Dr. Kellogg, you know, like the disgusting GMO cereal guy, he was actually a big proponent of that and performed some of those himself.
That's disgusting. Oh, God.
So it's just, you know, control all around, and it's like, and now, like, back then, like, circumcision wasn't always done at birth, but now it is. I mean, there's no accident that all these things sort of flurried up that way, and they're all interconnected. So I will let you carry on some more hospital things, though, from there.
I was just going to touch on these three different kinds of surgeries that are occurring at such high rates. It's really disturbing. Hysterectomies, for one. I can't tell you how many I would say they're usually around their 40s. They've had their children, or some of them haven't, but they have hysterectomies, and that's basically them taking out your I think it's your ovaries and uterus or one of the two. And this is just completely unnecessary. And a lot of women will say, oh, well, you don't understand. Like, I had such painful periods. Okay, well, let's look at why you're having painful periods. It's not, you know, your body is just sending you a message if you're in pain saying, look, you're not giving me what I need. Something is out of whack here. But this is our modern medical mindset. Let's cut it open and rip it out. That's not ever going to solve anything, in my opinion, and that's going to screw things up even more. Let's try healing it from within. Let's ask the questions, why is this happening? You know, I had a family member who had a total hysterectomy, and she wondered why her, you know, she was having such painful periods and having such intense uterine pain, but never seemed to ever think that the four abortions that she had in her past had anything to do with it. You know, really not going to put those two things together. Your womb is probably reacting to four abortions, you know, and these were not herbal. Yeah. Were like open and take out the baby, you know? So it's like, really, you're not ever going to, and it's like, because maybe she doesn't want to address those things, but it's just a no brainer to me that your womb is reacting to these procedures that were done in the past. And, you know, a lot of this has to do with diet, birth control pills, you know, birth control patches, birth control rings, which are all just awful and screw the body up so much. But women never seem to ever question why they're having these things, especially mastectomies, you know, a removal of the breasts because of breast cancer. That's just ridiculous to me, too. If you have a cancer, I really do believe that it can be healed from the inside out and does not need to be removed completely.
Yeah, cannabis oil.
Right.
But nope. Nope, can't have that.
That I think that women and cannabis, we have a deep connection. And I've personally used cannabis to help myself, and it's helped me tremendously. You know, whereas maybe other people would say, oh, you know what, I'm feeling really crappy. I'm feeling kind of sick. I'm having bad cramps. I'm nauseous. I'm going to go take what they give to a lot of pregnant women is this drug called Zofran, which is for nausea and just overall feeling like crap. But it's like a cancer medication that they use for people going through chemo. So, I mean,
oh, God.
Yeah, and they give this to pregnant women. And this is usually within their first trimester because they're feeling, you know, kind of sick and nauseous. So it's like, oh, don't use cannabis. But take this hardcore cancer medication that'll be good for you. It's just ridiculous. And again, another procedure we have is cesarean sections. And I honestly, I don't know, part of this could just be me, be naive about all this and just think, oh, birth works perfectly every time. But when I see, okay, I understand C-sections can be useful in extreme emergencies. But when I look at animals living in their natural environment and not even like, you know, my cats, you know, I had a female cat, she would probably be able to carry and birth a litter of kittens perfectly and doesn't need any intervention. So I just wonder, okay, even if women are having to have, they're having some kind of extreme emergency and need a C-section, why aren't we asking the questions, why is this happening? You know, they had the explanation that back when there was a lot of rickets occurring in people, that the pelvis was malformed and therefore the baby couldn't fit through. I don't know if that's true or not, but that would kind of make sense to me. But then we have our question answered. Okay, this is because of malnutrition. It's because of rickets that, you know, this is impossible. So let's address that issue. But I really don't think, I mean, obviously C-sections are being used way more than they should for completely healthy women. But I wonder if they're really necessary at all. If we were living in a natural environment, why wouldn't a human be able to carry and birth a child, multiple children, just like any other animal? I mean, to me, it's just a sign that we're not doing something right. And, you know, I may just be naive and thinking that everything could be perfect, but...
No, I don't think so at all. And I mean, the kind of things that the reasons that people will believe that the C-section rates are so high in certain areas is unbelievable. Like, well, I mentioned this book multiple times that
Emily Martin book, Woman in the Body, which is like primarily based on Johns Hopkins. So like Baltimore area has always been like really notorious for having pretty high C-section rates, like higher than other parts of the country, like really high, like 50% and higher even now. My mom had heard something on the TV recently that, Baltimore has such a high C-section rate because of all the teenage mothers. It's like, really? Really? How young were people having kids 150 years ago? Just fine. Large families at that.
Yep. Yep. And I actually
think that's what it is.
I actually think our bodies are designed to give birth earlier than we do these days. I mean, because women are working and, you know, they're, of course, we're all under the mindset that we have to have money to have children and we have to, you know, make sure their college fund is all ready to go. Women are waiting. I mean, my mom was 39 when she had me, and 24. So we're talking, you know, almost 25 years ago. Now women are waiting till their 40s. And it's really not, I don't think, not to say that a child can't be healthy, you know, I consider myself healthy, but I don't think women are supposed to be giving birth that late in life. I don't think our bodies are designed that way. And I actually think it's easier on the body to give birth at a younger age. So I think that's complete bogus to say that, oh, young women can't give birth. They need a C-section. It's just such BS. And they have done such a good job of scaring the crap out of women about their bodies that they are now demanding C-sections. They're demanding these barbaric procedures. Just shows you how infected the minds of women have become and how they've just given away their intuition completely. I was talking to a woman last night about hospital births and my view on how I would never birth in a hospital, and she just seemed so perplexed by this. Like, I don't understand. And she said, well, you know, I'm so glad that I was in a hospital because my son's shoulders got stuck, and, you know, they were there to probably, she didn't mention it, but they probably gave her an episiotomy, which is cutting the vagina, making an incision from the vagina down towards the anus, so going, cutting through the perineum. And she was just really glad that they were there to save the baby, and I asked her, well, were you laying on your back? And she said, yeah. Said, oh, well, that's interesting because, you know, it's the medical term for when a baby's shoulders get stuck. It's called shoulder dystocia. And so I said, you know, a great way to help with shoulder dystocia is just to flip over onto all fours, and the baby just slides right out because your pelvis was not able to open all the way because you're lying on your back. And she looked up and she thought about it for a second and it's like she had an epiphany. Like, she had never even ever considered this before, that lying on your back is not the optimal birthing position. And it really sunk in, and she said, oh my God, that makes sense. And most women, this is how sad it is to me that most women don't even think that they have the knowledge to know to flip over on all fours, or to know how to get into a more optimal position for their baby. Just really made me sad that women are giving up their power, their right to their own bodies so willingly and so easily, and demanding it. It's really scary to me. We haven't progressed. I mean, nothing. You know, we're not being burnt at the stake anymore, but I mean, have we really progressed as women? I mean,
right. And the fact that these are just such vital processes and vital parts of your body, like even the method of episiotomy alone, cutting through the perineum, like actually there in terms of like Meridian medicine, the conception vessel and governing vessel, one runs down the center midline of the body, the other one on the back midline of the body. And the am I still on the call?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, it cut out for a minute, and I was like, wait, it's so quiet. Okay, so there is a point right on the perineum called CV1, and this wouldn't be the best point to do in an emergency situation, but apparently it is a point because those two meridians are like the base meridians. They're the first meridians that form in an infant when they're in utero, and it functions like a circuit of energy. And if those channels aren't working properly, the other channels won't work properly, and then you'll have some kind of imbalances or health problems. So what's so important about CV1, though impractical, apparently it's known for resurrection. So if somebody were to technically die, there's also a point on the bottom of the foot that would be better in that situation, but it could be needled to literally bring someone back to life. Wow, so yeah, and they just cut through it when they don't even have to. It's just amazing. And it's like, are there any mistakes in why that's happening? I don't think so.
Meaning to it for me that you just said that. I mean, wow, that's incredible. And I wonder if they have this knowledge, if they know that this is what they're doing. You know, if there's another agenda within an agenda. It's just really sad. You also have these, I was talking to you about this, I think, Hex. You have these gynecologists now, these OBs. A lot of them really dykey-looking women, which is by no accident to me, I think. They're making these Facebook groups that are called Fed Up with Natural Childbirth.
And oh my God, are you serious?
Dead serious. I checked it out. Of course it's because this woman's business is a hit, because now women, a lot of women, and if you look at the statistics, it's white women leading the way in home births and leading the way in unassisted births and pregnancies, which is duh, of course. But obviously her business is taking a hit, so she wants to make everybody look like they're crazy if they want to have a child outside of the hospital, calling people like us baby killers and reckless and, oh, we're putting our babies in danger. Again, it's like calling out the witches. Mm. And to get into this a little bit more, the way that midwives are treated today in some states, even here in this country and in other countries like Hungary, where I believe, I don't know if it's still the case, but home birth was made illegal. And this is actually the case in some states here where a midwife cannot attend a home birth. It's absolutely illegal.
And that's how it is in my state.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. John Hopkins. I mean, come on. We're like the worst of the worst when it comes to like birth processes, period, in the U.S. I say, anyway.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And it's just really disturbing to me because these women will go and attend a home birth. And for example, this woman, Agnes Garab, she was a Hungarian midwife that I watched a documentary on. And she was simply giving antenatal classes. These were like birthing classes for women and their partners. And one woman during one of her classes started to go into a precipitous labor. It went really fast. And she was, you know, I don't think she was due for a while. Not that due dates are exact, but it was a preterm baby. And she really fast, and the baby was stillborn. So she called the ambulance. You know, she did everything that she could do. And, of course, along with the ambulance came the police. And the reason the police knew that this lady was teaching antenatal classes was because Agnes Garab used to be an OBGYN. And she was so disillusioned by the whole practice that she tried as an OB to change the way that birth was viewed, to change the birthing practices in Hungary. And she was just driven out by her other people within the hospital, and they just basically hunted her like a witch and tried at every chance they got to get her arrested, to defame her, to make her life a living hell. And she was arrested. She was placed in jail for, I think she got a 2-year sentence, and then she was on house arrest for a year. Couldn't leave her house, had an ankle bracelet on. So yeah, these witch hunts are still going on. And this woman wasn't even attending a birth. This is just some lady that had a stillbirth right in front of her, and automatically she's to blame for this, and she's thrown in jail. And this happens all the time in this country. Women are actually in jail for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
A home birth where the baby died. And the family of the stillborn child, They could have absolutely nothing but good things to say about the midwife, and they will go and fight for that midwife because they know it's not her fault. But the law is the law, and this woman will be in jail for the rest of her life. And it's just, it's really, really upsetting to me. You know, it's sad because women, we don't have a lot of options in pregnancy. It's either you go to the hospital and risk, you know, your baby and your lives and being traumatized for the rest of your life. You can hire a midwife if it's legal in your state, which it is in some, but these midwives have to follow a protocol, and they have to do certain things. You know, for example, here in this state, if a woman were to go past 42 weeks, the midwife says, sorry, see you later. Thanks for paying me for the prenatal care, but you got to go in for a C-section or you're on your own. You know, they won't deliver, or they won't attend a birth of a breech baby, which is a baby that's not presenting head first. They are presenting butt first or foot first, which is completely normal. But again, because these ancient arts are not being taught anymore, you know, any woman hundreds of years ago would know what to do in a breech birth. And you know what it is? It's to do absolutely nothing. It's to stand back and let the woman figure it out herself. Not to pull on the baby's foot, not to forcefully stick your hand into her and try and pull the baby out. It's to do absolutely nothing. And we're not teaching anybody how to handle these births anymore. So, it's illegal. Got to go in for a C-section. They have to do vaginal checks while the woman is in labor. So their fingers into her vagina while she's in labor, when she's in a very vulnerable state. And you don't think that's going to hinder the birth process at all. But, oh, no, you got to do it because you got to make sure this woman is progressing, you know, by the books. This everything.
Yeah, it's timing.
Everything has to go according to plan, and oh, every woman should follow this protocol, when that is just so stupid and ridiculous, because that's not how it works. So, I mean, even you have, this is really disturbing to me, and then I'm going to play a quick song because I got to use the bathroom.
Okay.
But this is really disturbing to me that mothers are being imprisoned, they're being forcefully taken from their homes and tied down and being forced to have C-sections, and then having their babies taken away after this because they're considered unfit mothers. A lot of women, if they'll go to an OB for prenatal care, and the OB says, you need to have a C-section, and they say, no, I don't. Go screw yourself. I'm not going to let you cut me open. I know better. Well, they shouldn't have gone to the OB in the first place, but that's besides the point. The OB will then threaten the woman to call DCF, to call, you know, child services, to call the police, which is, they can't do anything like that. The police can't get involved because the woman has a right to her own body, but they'll scare her. And in some states, like the state I'm living in right now, the police will come to the door, because they've just been given orders. They don't even know that, you know, it's illegal. They can't do this. Cause it's, essentially it is illegal. They cannot do this. But the woman will be so scared that she will just go with the police and she'll allow them to cut into her, and then they'll take her baby away, or they'll throw her in jail if she has a stillbirth at home and they find out about it. So
they'll throw you in jail for having a stillbirth at home.
About it. Yeah, they can do that. They've done
that. Wow.
Or they've taken away their babies they've been ripped from their wombs because the mother is deemed unfit. And of course, there's no accountability for these people that are breaking the law and raping women, essentially, stealing their babies. I mean, this is so barbaric, and no one's being held accountable. Doctors are not being held accountable for the countless number of mothers and babies that die at their, you know, in their care. Care. I say that loosely and sarcastically. But if you are a woman and you give birth to a stillborn baby at home in the privacy of your home, your private property, anybody finds out, you're going to jail. But a doctor, oh, that's fine. It was just an act of God. He tried his best to save the baby, when really he's the one killing the baby and the mother. And it's not always he. There are female gynecologists and OBs as well, so I don't want to have it be one-sided.
Right. Physicians are always constructed as being heroes when it's like, how about the mother who's bringing the child into the world and her body created an ecosystem for the child to live in and all the beauty and magic surrounding that. But it's like, nope, nope, doctors are heroes. The mom didn't do anything except get knocked up and get fat, and we're going to take it out. I mean, that's kind of what they're saying. You know, like on these TV shows and movies and stuff like that. I mean, that's how it's always portrayed.
Exactly. You want to know what doctors are saying, about shoulder dystocia, you know, when the baby's shoulder gets stuck. They're saying, and now this is so sick. They're being taught how to break a baby's shoulders to get the baby out, when all they freaking have to do is let the freaking woman stand up and get into a different position other than lying on her back. But they're saying women are too fat and their babies are too big, so they won't fit. So we have to break their shoulders to get them out. That's what they're saying. Yeah, it's all the woman's fault. She's just too fat. Her baby's too big. No, it has nothing to do with the fact that she's lying on her back. I mean, it's I don't know. I'm wondering if Kyle, if he's around, maybe he could play a quick song. I forgot that we're not in the studio, so I don't have control over that. But I just have to take a real quick break.
Okay.
I don't know. Or maybe you could just talk real quick, and I'll just run to the bathroom really quick.
Okay.
Okay.
So okay. Yeah. Go pee. I got it. Okay. Let me find something that was on topic here. Sorry. I wasn't prepared for that. Okay. So, about amniocentesis, actually. Yeah. There's something I wanted to say about that earlier. Amniocentesis, I'm not sure if it's the same process, but it's quite similar. But in China, because they have the one child only law in most districts, some districts you can have two kids, sometimes three. It depends. It's a little variable. But generally, especially in mainland China, there's the one child policy. And when a woman is having a child or knows that she's having a girl child, they do something really similar, and I guess it must be saline that's in the needle, because they will break into a woman's home. Yeah, more crazy shit, breaking into women's homes while they're pregnant. Break into her home and put this this needle into the abdomen, and I guess it has to be the saline, because something is killing the baby, and I don't think it's the puncture alone based on the placement of the amniocentesis needle. And then the woman has a very painful expulsion of her child.
Are you there? My internet cut out.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, internet cut out, of course.
Oh, good figure.
Yeah, exactly. It's just.
I'm glad we got it back, though. I was like, uh-oh.
Oh. Oh my god. Crazy echo.
Really? I don't hear it.
Oh, wait, I had the player on. Figured that one out. Sorry.
It's
that
okay.
Was so weird. Okay. Yeah, we were talking about. Yeah, you were talking about that. I don't even know what you would call it. Like, it's not a procedure. It's a murder of a baby in utero. I mean,
yeah.
What else? That's so disturbing. It's, oh God. Weren't you talking about some guy that, said, you know, a parent has the right to kill their baby. It's just like washing germs off a hand or something. Was that you?
I don't think it was.
Okay.
Oh, wow, though.
Yeah, yeah. I forget. Oh, you know what? Maybe it was Dan who's talking about this guy that is so revered within the universities. And he says that, oh, well, you know, parents should have the right to kill their baby if they want to. And they also, you know, people should have the right to euthanize their elderly if they want to. And I mean, I think the two are in a different category. I don't necessarily think if a person is in a lot of pain and they don't want to live anymore that you shouldn't be able to help them leave this place. I don't know. That's my. But the other.
Right, but it sounds like he just is like, yeah, just kill him. You know?
He tries to say that there's no such thing as morality, basically. And, you know, apparently.
Oh, wonderful.
Right to kill their baby if they don't want it. But if you're a woman that has a stillbirth, you're convicted of homicide. I don't know.
Wow, that makes no sense.
Yeah, it makes absolute nothing. Nothing does regarding the medicalization of birth, or even, you know, let's get into gynecology, because I know you and I have been looking into this a lot recently. And this is so twisted. My mom used to bring me to the gynecologist with her, so I could almost see what was in store for me. And I just remember being so disturbed by it as a little girl. I'm basically, I know this is really personal, but I want to share it with everybody because it just paints a picture of how disturbing this is, you know, for a young girl. It was like I was watching my mom be examined, and then I had that to look forward to. You know, this is what it is when you become a woman, Sinead.
Oh my God.
To be raped, basically. I mean, it's really disturbing. And then, you know, both my parents are in the medical profession, so they brought me to the gynecologist, and I would just go because I thought that, you know, I had to, and that, you know, my vagina was really going to kill me, and it's you know, it's a dangerous thing to have, and you have to make sure it's working properly, and it could just kill you at any minute. And I just think it's such BS because, I mean, men don't really need to go to a testicle doctor or anything, or, I mean, I'm sure they have those, but they're not required to get a yearly, or maybe they are. Now they kind of are with these prostate exams and stuff. So
yeah.
It's really. But I mean, it's just not necessary. And then when you have the government mandating how many, you know, gynecological appointments you should go to, that's just a red flag for me. Why are you so invested in this, you know?
Yeah, it's really bizarre. And to be honest with you, all of my friends always go at least once a year. I have one friend that doesn't go, and she probably has the least amount. Actually, I would say none. She has no problems with her reproductive system. Yeah. And really never has, barely even gets cramps. Never been, ever. And she's 23 years old.
So telling. Well, you know what? They just made a mess of me. You know, I got all three of the Gardasil vaccinations. I'm so thankful that I can walk and that I'm, you know, able to conceive. I mean, I was so worried for a long time that I was just ruined. You know, they sterilized me or something. I was just so
that's
worried.
That's how I felt too. And what you were saying earlier, how they scare women into stuff. When I went to go get that biopsy where they rip your freaking cervix, I told her, I was I was already on the table, but I was it just felt it didn't need to happen. So, and I was young and I still had this reaction. I was how about we do another pap or just wait a while? Why really? Is it really that bad? Does anything even seem that bad that you have to do this? And she was like, do you want to get cancer? And was real mouthy with me. And I was whoa, shit. They're crazy is my conclusion. They're really aggressive.
Oh, they're really aggressive about it. I actually had gone to the gynecologist. I was trying to get put on a natural form of birth control, oh God, I forget what it is. It's totally stupid and I'm glad I never got it. It's basically a female condom.
A diaphragm?
Diaphragm, that's what it is, which is just retarded. But she wouldn't give me the diaphragm until I got a colposcopy for the second time. And I said, absolutely no way.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, she's like, well, you have precancerous cells and, you know, I can't prescribe you this thing until you know, until you get this second colposcopy. I got one, you know, got the freaking barbaric, torturous, them ripping a piece of my cervix out and leaving me there to bleed and spraying vinegar on it. Oh, that's good. Yeah, let's just spray some vinegar on your.
Is that what that was? Because it they burned. Vinegar. They didn't even tell me. I was just why is it burning? Why?
Yep. Oh, and I think the same thing with you. I got to have another person training, you know, watching this. But
yeah.
It was my own fault for letting that happen to myself, and I own up to that. But she wouldn't let me get this stupid diaphragm thing until I had another colposcopy. And this is when I realized that this is the last time I ever went to a gynecologist. And I had to realize this all on my own because no one was telling me, hey, gynecologists are basically raping you. Like, you shouldn't go, because I had my whole family saying, you need to go. You could have cancer. Your cousin has cancer and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I didn't do the second one, and I was, and that's when I finally got it that this is all about money, because those procedures are several thousand dollars. And of course my insurance covered most of it, but you know, insurance pays them. So, they tried to scare the crap out of me saying that I have a precancerous cells that could turn into cervical cancer, and oh, the percentages are so high of women that have cervical cancer, and it's just such BS. It's not.
Oh, it is.
And, you know, if women are getting cervical cancer, huh, maybe it has something to do with the fact that you're ripping a piece of their cervix out. I wonder.
Yeah, and injecting with viruses.
And injecting, yeah. Injecting you with a
so
vaccination
stupid.
That's proven to kill and paralyze women. And they're pushing this on girls as young as 9.
I know. And boys now, too.
I guess 9-year-olds are sexually active now. I mean, wouldn't surprise me.
And boys, too.
They're pushing it on boys?
Yeah.
Because I know the whole... I honestly think the whole HPV thing is a complete scam.
It is.
I think it's a complete scam because everybody seems to have it. Everybody that I've talked to seems to have it. And people that are not bloody, disgusting prostitutes are having HPV. But I always understood that HPV was dormant in the male, and then it could cause like genital warts or certain things to flare up in women. But in men, it was dormant.
Yeah. Well, they're pushing it anyway because they just want to poison everybody. It doesn't even make sense that it would work with how that disease manifests in men whatsoever. It's just to poison people.
Yeah,
end of story. It's ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah. And you're right. Everybody freaking has it, and I don't know anybody who's gotten really sick. Like, I don't. And my doctor was really super nice about it. I was testing her a little bit, and I was like, okay, so if I have these abnormal cells, what can I do to lower my risk? I just want to see what she say. Yeah. And she didn't say anything about like, oh, you know, don't smoke cigarettes because they're carcinogens, or don't eat a bunch of chemical laden food or anything like that. All she said was have less partners. And I had like had the same boyfriend for like 5 years.
Oh, geez. Yeah, well,
I'm like, thanks.
Yeah,
they just call you a whore. And I've had multiple friends have the same experience, like just basically being called a whore.
Yeah.
It's really professional.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. I honestly wonder what kind of person decides they want to go into a gynecological practice. You know, I want to open up women's vaginas all day and, you know, and just swab them and scrape them. And they would have to feel my breasts, too. They would like... I would be like lying on the table and she'd be like feeling my breast to make sure I don't have any lumps. Oh, because I'm so stupid and retarded.
Yeah.
I couldn't feel my own breasts for lumps. And hey, you know what? Even if for some reason, and I totally don't think this is true, for some reason, if I had to take a look at my own cervix, give me the frickin' thing myself, give me a mirror, and I will do it myself. I am not an idiot. But we allow ourselves to be treated like complete retards. And
yeah. And apparently most of the... Go.
Sorry, I was going to say, we both did it. We allowed ourselves to be treated like this. So, I mean, I have empathy for women that are, you know, lying on their backs with their feet up in stirrups while giving birth. I understand where they're coming from, but someone needs to show them that this isn't the way. You know, we had to find it on our own. No one helped us out with this. We had to go through it, and it sucked, but we'll never go back, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And another thing that told me it was about money is that she was like, well, if, you know, only for the next, like, year and a half, like, I want you to come, like, twice a year. And I was like, okay. And she's like, and then after that, if there aren't any changes or it gets better, then you only come back once a year. That was, like, 3 or 4 years ago, and she continued to have me come in twice a year.
Yep. Of course.
Money.
Money. Co-pays.
Yep, she wants me to come back in February. I'm not going.
Don't care.
Never want to see you ever again. You're
good.
A psycho. Actually, the first doctor I had was like even crazier than this one. This one I went to when I was like 16 because I had like psycho periods and cramps. And she was awful. I mean, I would like leave her examination like bleeding every single time.
Oh, jeez.
Every single time.
There's some real sick people that want to do this. I mean,
and I don't even think she had gloves on a couple times.
Ew.
But I didn't know. I was like 16. I had no idea. She was a crazy Russian lady.
Well, you know what's really disturbing? Okay, like they have the whole speculum thing in the flashlight and the swabs, but then they actually stick their fingers in you.
Yeah.
And like feel around.
Yeah, and women can do that themselves. I had a cyst that I found myself. It went away because I stopped eating hormones in my food, and they eventually went off the evil freaking NuvaRing, and then it really never came back. But it would come in like cycles. It's like it would flare up every couple weeks, and it would like hurt, and I'd have like weird bleeding, and I could like feel it, and. Anytime I went in there, because they only can see you when it's convenient for them, not when it's like, okay, I can feel this thing now, like, look at it. Yeah. Like, they could never find it. They could never find it, but I could find it myself. Right. And
your body.
What you're saying about, breast mastitis, like, apparently most of the time when there's, like, a cyst or something found in the breast or any sort of abnormalities, a woman herself or her partner finds it, not a doctor.
Of course.
Yeah,
of course. And then it blows my mind that these vaginal checks are being. Oh, shit. Hold on. I got the player on again for some reason. But it blows my mind that. What was I going to say? Oh, that vaginal checks are being performed on women in labor where their body is literally opening up and they're sticking their hands up there. What the heck? Like, this is not normal. It's not normal. It's really perverse. And people just that's just a part of being a woman in labor. No. Nobody's hands should be near your vagina except yours or your partner's. No, like nobody's. You know, nobody needs to help you, you know, get the baby out. I always see these, you know, these birthing pictures, and it's always I see these white gloves all over the place. Just white gloves here, white gloves there. Why isn't the woman putting her own hands there to feel the baby's head come out? Why isn't the woman, you know, grabbing the baby herself? The woman or the father should be the first person to touch that baby, not the provider, the healthcare provider, not the midwife, not the doctor. I mean, birth needs to be left the heck alone. Leave it alone. Just stop. Stop trying to intervene, because these interventions are what's screwing everything up, and people just are too stupid to seem to realize this. Oh, so when we give the woman Pitocin, that's gonna hurt her? Oh, I didn't know that. Because, women can't just birth on their own. They need drugs. Like,
fine. I mean, if they're terrified of their periods, they're terrified of giving birth.
Exactly. That is so scary to me. And that's why we really, I mean, within our communities and our young women and men, we need to teach them to not be afraid of their bodies and that everything's normal and that you have the power to heal yourself. You don't need to always look outside of yourself. And that just goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Intuition is just gone. It's just gone. I mean, you can feel as a woman, you can feel if something's not right, and you can address that on your own, or you can ask for help by someone that you trust that's within your circle, someone that you know is not out for money or doesn't care about you, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, women, I had this girl I went to school with, and she said, like, even though her twin sister had already given birth and, like, her mom had 5 kids, they didn't give her, like, any helpful advice whatsoever she would ask. They would just be like, oh, yeah, you're going to be scared and it's going to hurt. Jeez, and she was so upset
awful.
About that. She would come to school, like, crying to us and be like, guys, like, tell me something other than that.
Awful.
And, like, that's really awful. It's like, your mother had 5 children. That's all she can say to you.
I've had the same conversation with family members, you know, of course, like, who would you want to turn to for advice if you can't turn to these medical people because they're crazy? You would want to go to your family and maybe a cousin that's given birth or your aunt, your grandma. And what I've gotten from them is, yeah, you're kind of crazy for not wanting to go to a hospital. And, you know, birth is very uncomfortable. And, you know, your pelvis might not be big enough. And just, what if this? What if that? Blah, 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 blah. As if I'm too stupid to be able to say my baby isn't breathing as soon as they come out. Oh, because I wouldn't know to rub their back, to lightly blow air into their mouth, to suction their nose and their mouth with my own mouth. You know, you don't even need one of those bulb syringe things. This is all instinctual and it just happens. But we don't use our instincts at all anymore.
No. And people, there have been cases, like more than one, where a baby was born dead and the mother didn't even breathe air. Like, she just held it. And, like, the baby came back.
Wow. Yeah, well, that's the thing. If you put a baby right skin to skin, they will come back to life. Babies have been born dead, like you said, and it's called kangaroo care, where you put the baby on the mother's chest skin to skin, and the baby will come back to life. But if you take – the baby needs to go right to the mother. If you take that baby away to go wash it and poke it and prod it and give it a bunch of vaccinations, yeah, I'm sure that baby's not going to thrive. You're not even supposed to wash the baby or put a hat on them. But these are standard procedures that happen in hospitals that no one even questions. The mother and baby need to get each other scent. So if you're washing the baby off before you hand it to the mother, they never get each other scent, and that deep bonding never occurs. And we wonder why there's so many terrible mothers out there that don't seem to know how to raise children, because they never bonded with their baby. And I'm not saying that if you have a traumatic birth that it's not possible to bond with your baby, but I'm just saying in the grand scheme of things, this is the cause of this problem, I think. Or one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just terrifying that they just take it from people. It really is.
And that they see people like you and I as being crazy. And it's just like we're back during the witch hunts.
Burn them.
Really, we've really made, like, no great progress, in my opinion. But have you heard of this procedure? It's another gynecological procedure, just to paint a perspective for people, or to paint a picture for people of how disgusting these procedures are. It's called a LEAP procedure, L-E-E-P.
Oh, yeah. I looked into that because I was scared I was going to get cancer and have to get that done or something. I was like, I'm going to have to get LEAP.
So disturbing. Apparently, and fill me in if I'm wrong, because I just briefly read over it, like, the other day. But they take these, like, electrical wires and basically go inside and, like, burn your, like, the top of your cervix off. And this has caused women to not be able to bear children, to have, like, extremely bad problems for the rest of their lives. But, oh, yeah, this procedure was necessary to help you. I mean, what? This is so disturbing.
Yeah, and I think the difference between LEAP and, like, I've talked to naturopaths who've used carterization. Like, the carterization is, like, really mild, and it's a really, really old technique, actually. And I'm like, okay. But the difference between the LEAP thing is the nature of the heat that they're using. They're using an electrical heat. They're using a wire. And not only are they, like, doing what you just said, but they, from what I understand and read from multiple places, they cut it down. They cut down that tissue, and if they do it, like, 3 times at some point, because they insist that you do, you don't have a cervix left, basically, and you can't hold in a child.
I like, almost want to cry. It's just so messed up.
It's some bad shit. Like, you should just not. Go to a naturopath. Go somewhere else if you really have, some scary stuff going on, some carcinogenic kind of stuff, you know, go somewhere else and definitely get a second opinion, because, like, they'll just keep cutting away at you until you don't have a cervix left.
I mean, that's a good start. Just another thing that you reminded me of, there's something called cervical circlage that they do to pregnant women that are having preterm labor, which means they're having contractions that are, you know, they're intense and they're close together, which usually is a sign that labor, you know, active labor is happening. So our wonderful medical community, instead of asking the question, why is this woman going into labor early? That usually that could have a lot to do with stress, diet, not getting adequate rest, a lot of it is just stress. So what our awesome gynecologists do is a cervical cerclage, where they sew the cervix shut.
Mm-hmm.
So they sew it shut. Wow, that is so brilliant. You got a round of applause. You guys are just such lifesavers. Solve the problem. Let's not look at – it just blows my mind that we never look at why. Why is this happening? We just say, oh, let's sew it shut. Let's cut it out. Let's biopsy it.
And that's another thing they would do if somebody had LEAP too many times. Like, they have LEAP two or three times, the cervix is going to be too weak, and then they're going to do a cerclage too. And you're just going to be all butchered up, basically.
It's so disturbing. It's so disturbing. And, oh, God, I don't even know. I just hope that, because I think a lot of our efforts are lost on, people our age even. So, because they just are so, like Kyle said in the chat, that the medical profession is a dangerous religious cult, and it absolutely is, because people do not question the authority. Mm-hmm. They never hold any of them accountable for the deaths of millions of babies and mothers over the years, but they just blindly put their faith in these people who are killing them outright as we speak. Women, babies murdered, Cytotech administered, all these C-sections, blah, 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 everything. But no one ever, ever questions it. And we are considered, again, evil witches for wanting to do things the natural way. I mean, it's really sad. But that's why our efforts are put towards the youth, because they want to know the truth, and, they don't want to be abused. So our duty to tell them the truth and to protect them from these psychopaths that want to rape them, mutilate them, abuse them, take advantage of them, drive any money they have. So I really do that for our young girls and our young boys.
And it's really scary out there. I mean, I only went to two doctors in my lifetime, and was with the crazy lady when I was younger for only like 2 years, and then like this other lady that was not much better. But one of my friends, their dad lost their job a few years ago, so they kind of have to go on like medical assistance or whatever, and the one graduated from college. The one actually goes to a university doctor, and they're actually not that bad. And why I know that is because I briefly went to that school, and one of the doctors there, she says most people won't do it, but she offers girls to have a mirror and look at themselves with the speculum.
Start.
And she's pretty wild. Like, she came in and talked to a couple of my classes. I'm like, all right, right on. That's pretty cool, actually. And she yells at people for shaving everything off, because she's like, you're going to get staph. And I'm like, all right, cool. Like, you're actually giving, like, reasonable advice, and this is the only healthcare some of these girls might have, and they might actually need something, because God knows there's a lot of STDs on college campuses. So, okay, fair enough. So my one friend goes there, and I'm like, all right, could be worse. But then my other friend, she's done school, and has been just going wherever she can get coverage with what she has. And she went to this one lady down outside, like bordering the city, and this person has a medical license. Like, she saw it. Like, she made sure of it. But it was, like, in this rundown old house, and she had the speculums in, like, a giant, like, plastic bucket with bleach.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, just, like, sitting in the corner.
Oh, God. Well, did you...
It's, like, that's disgusting.
It really is.
Oh, my God.
Bad that is to put bleach anywhere near your body, let alone inside of your body.
And they're just hanging out with everybody else's junk that was in someone else's body, and it's just sitting in a bucket on the floor.
This reminded me something, and I posted the article over at Aryan Women a few days ago, but a doctor in the, an OB in the UK, sprayed a solution that was like a chemical solution on a woman's cervix during an exam and basically ruined her reproductive organs for the rest of her life, and she can't ever bear children. And I think there's a lawsuit going on, but I doubt this guy will lose his license. I doubt it.
Yeah, of course not.
Oops, I sprayed the wrong thing. That was carpet cleaner. I thought it was vinegar. Oopsies.
Yeah. I know. I read that story. Like, that is just... I just can't even believe it, but... Oh, God.
I know. Yeah.
It's just awful.
It really is.
But, yeah, it just shows the lack of care. I mean, come on, if they're going to just accidentally do that or throw some speculums in a bucket. It's the thing. There is a complete lack of care
and intuition just gone from women.
Yeah.
Pregnancy is a time of heightened intuition and heightened sensitivity because that's the way it's been designed, and it's beautifully designed and perfectly designed because that's what you need to connect with your baby and to connect with the changes in your body and to know, okay, something doesn't feel right here. Let me try and figure it out. But you do it. You essentially do this all on your own. It's these doctors and these, you know, these professionals that are impeding that process. They're getting in the way and they're ruining it. I mean, it's been designed. Am I still connected?
Yeah, I hear you.
It's been designed perfectly, and it takes a lot of effort to ruin that. And that's exactly what's happening. And again, Kyle made a great point that the doctor is the priest, and that, God, that makes so much sense. I've never really thought of it like that, but it totally makes sense. Don't
right
authority. They read it in this book, you know, see this diagram. It's yeah.
Right. And it goes back to the church taking over medicine and science. Like hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Yeah, they've always been, he's totally right, they've always been the priest. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
Yep. No doubt. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Like, the way that natural birth and natural healthcare happens has nothing to do with this sort of science, nothing to do with that sort of thought system. It has everything to do with nature, and they've stripped that from us a long time ago, and it's going to be quite an effort to unravel that and get back what we had. But it's, as you said, like, there's a lot of women, despite the trouble that they run into, that are having home births or at least having midwives, giving birth unassisted, people looking into eating cleaner food, women stopping birth control. I mean, birth control is like not cool anymore. It used to be like the thing. Everybody was on it. And now everybody's realizing they've either heard horror stories or they've had their own bad experiences and they had to get off of it. People are returning to a natural body. And when they return to a natural body, their mind's going to be clearer. And if they go outside, it'll be even more clear than that, because it's all going to go together. So, and I think that's really good. I mean, because when I was younger in high school, I mean, everybody was on the pill or something.
Oh yeah. It was just,
everyone,
you know, it was normal. Oh, you have acne, get on the pill. Oh, you have painful periods, get on the pill. Oh, you think you might want to have sex in a few years, you should probably get on the pill.
Yeah. Everyone. I mean, I've had, I mean, one thing that's really telling to me, and even if some of my friends haven't had side effects like myself and some of my friends have had that were awful, some of my friends who claim they don't have side effects, they've been on the pill for probably 10 years or so, and all of them have gained at least like 30 or 40 pounds.
That's a lovely side effect. That happened to me. So I was just
I mean, look at cows on these like feedlots.
Yeah.
Like, they're being pumped with estrogen. That's why they're so fat. Okay. And there are a lot worse things that could happen, but that shows you, like, that is an unnatural, very bizarre effect on the body. Like, you have certain levels of these hormones in your body, and they should stay at their normal, healthy level. Like, don't feed that. And, like, that feeds cancer. Like, duh, that's why when you eat, like, this polluted meat that's pumped with all these estrogens, it becomes carcinogenic to the human body. So it's like, okay, so when you are being pumped with estrogen, you're blowing up like cattle, and it could lead to more cancer. But people just, even, it.
I know. Are you still there? I don't know if anyone can still hear me in the chat. Are you there?
Hello? Yeah, I'm here.
Cut out for a second.
Oh, okay. But we're good now?
Yeah, sorry. Can you finish your thought? I didn't get to hear it.
Oh, I was just saying that, you know, what I was saying about how it's the same kind of process, like being pumped with estrogen, gaining a bunch of weight could become carcinogenic. The same process of us being on these things, and then cows being pumped with the same kind of false hormones, like xenoestrogens, that it's not a hard connection to make, that these are like two parallel planes working in the same way with these kind of hormones being pumped into either ourselves or cattle, but people just don't want to recognize that because they're told it's okay, or like, oh, if you're on birth control, like, you might have a lower risk of breast cancer, and, you know, just all this bullshit. But it's like, yeah, what about ovarian cancer and other cancers that tend to pop up, or and polyps and cysts and all these other things that happen to women's bodies that didn't happen before they were on these chemicals?
Yep, absolutely. I had the pleasure of having wonderful ovarian cysts burst because of birth control, and that was some of the worst pain I've ever felt in my life.
May I ask which one you were on?
NuvaRing.
Okay, I was on NuvaRing too.
Made me a psycho. And I was like fat and just psychotic.
Right. Yeah, one of my friends like was on Yaz, and she was on it on and off for years, and she said every time she was off it, taking breaks, she felt better. When she was on it, she literally wanted to kill herself.
Yep.
I'm like, that's unacceptable, okay? Yep. I had a lot of like physical problems, like my cramps were already bad, and they were made like 1,000 times worse by being on that. Oh, and for a couple months, this is probably like, people probably gonna be like, oh my god. I had vaginal eczema towards the end of using that because my body was just trying to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. And then when I went off of it, like, it was fine.
Of course.
But like, and that's a completely unlisted side effect. And I've found like hundreds and hundreds of women who had that same side effect. It's not even listed. Like, you feel like you're on fire until, like, you're off of NuvaRing. Like, you think there's all this stuff wrong with you, and, like, you go and get checked out, and they're like, I don't see anything. But they never say, like, oh, your body's probably really angry that it has this thing inside of it that shouldn't be there all the time.
Not to mention, you shouldn't have a piece of plastic in your body for, 28 days, 20 days? Cut out again, I think.
Or they get pelvic inflammatory disorder or something like that. It caused inflammation.
Right. You should not, I don't know, I was saying something, it cut out. I don't know if anyone heard, but you should not have a piece of plastic inside of you for 28 days or whatever it is. You know, that's not normal. Especially
if
that's releasing hormones into your body.
Yeah. I mean, just awful. And it doesn't make sense, like, just how the whole freaking NuvaRing works, because it would say something along the lines of, it's like, oh, must keep at cool temperatures for it to work, but right. Then you're going to put it in a really warm human body.
Just keep it in the fridge, but then I guess that's okay until you, oh, it's so sick.
It's just really gross. And I remember it was supposed to be like this innovative thing, and it's not supposed to have side effects, and I didn't have problems with that cyst and like weird bleeding that wouldn't stop until I was on that. It was like, yeah, you know, I had some irregularities and some cramping, but like nowhere near the stuff that started happening when I was on that shit. And I was on that for like 7 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. How long were you on it?
I was probably on it for about a year, and I had just, I was losing my mind. I was really, I had psychological problems from it. It really made me crazy.
Yeah. I have a friend that was on it for only about a year, and like, she couldn't stop bleeding, and she's like really sensitive to hormones anyway. Like, she can't drink soy milk because it'll make her cry.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's like really sensitive. And so she never tried anything again, and like, she's been fine. You know, I'm like, good for you. And I should have stopped long before, but then I have all this phobia, like, I can't get pregnant. It's like, just, there's other things you can do than poison yourself.
And somebody just said in the chat that abstinence is the best birth control, but I mean,
that's lame.
If you're someone to have a sexual relationship with someone, yeah, that's not going to work. So know your cycles, track your cycles, know when you're fertile, know when you're not. That doesn't always work. But I always say, if you're going to be having sex with someone, it should be someone that you would want to father your children. So it's not like, oh crap, I'm pregnant now, gotta go, you know. And there are ways to, if you know, if you think that you might be pregnant, or you, there's a possibility of, you know, implantation happening, there's herbal methods to stop that implantation from occurring. And it's much better than taking the Plan B crap that they market to young women now, and that you can just get over the counter. So
yeah, absolutely. There's so many things you could do. Like, I've had a lot of friends who've had to terminate pregnancies, and one of them was with this really crazy guy. Like, seriously, he was a freaking psycho, and he was a very potent psycho, unfortunately. And so things kept happening, and by the last time that happened, like right as they were like broke up, like, I probably shouldn't have done this, but I did, because I just didn't want her to have to. She went to a Planned Parenthood the first time and said it was just like awful, and then after that she went to like small private clinics, which were a lot better. Like, if you are in a situation where it's too late, or you're having a hard time with herbs or vitamin C or other methods, like, at least go to a small clinic. Don't go to these like big places where they just pump it out, and they share like record information and statistics and all this other garbage, and they're very intrusive of your privacy. Like, I know people that have like been into both situations, and they do operate a little bit differently. But either way, that's the most traumatic method, and if you can avoid it, please do. I did kind of help a friend out herbally, and it worked. So I know these things work. And enough people will say that. I mean, what do you think like our grandmothers of old were doing with each other, and that's why they were getting screamed at by the Catholic Church and yelled at, as I noted earlier. So there definitely are things you can do, and even just perhaps and being intentional too about it. Like, you could just, you know, use herbs and like tell your body like, this isn't the right time, or something. Yeah. Like that.
I think consciousness is very powerful within conception. When you say no, not ready yet, and then when you say yes, it'll happen.
Yeah.
But,
right.
Yeah.
And some people really are in bad situations, like where they can't have that. That's what I was saying earlier. Like, we can't run around and be crazy pro-lifers about everything. And it, some situations are bad. And really, I don't know what the world would be without it, because look at these other groups of people that produce at a really high rate. What if that process didn't exist, or anyone had any knowledge on how to terminate pregnancies? I can't even imagine how much more freaking crowded it would be right now.
and just like, you know, fatherless, motherless children running around. We all know how that is.
Yeah, there's already enough of that as is.
So, yeah. I guess we could, I don't really know if we can bring in callers. I think we might be able to add them, or they can add renegade.broadcasting on their Skype, and we might be able to bring them in if they want to call in, or they can ask questions in the chat. Someone did ask a question earlier that I just have to address, because I don't know where you got this information, and it's kind of cute that you think this, but he asked if women are only interested in sex during ovulation, and that's not true. But, I mean, it's heightened around that time. But no, it's not like, oh, I'm ovulating I want sex and then other times you don't. I think every woman is different and it's just like a man, you know? Well, I guess maybe men, I don't know. Everybody's different. And it's not just during ovulation. But yeah, I just wanted to, but maybe if anybody has other questions.
That's interesting. I just wonder how that idea got out there in general, you know?
Movies a lot, like if a woman's trying to conceive, she'll be like, I'm ovulating, we need to have sex, you know? So maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know.
Huh, interesting.
I guess it's more, maybe more heightened around that time. I don't know. I've never noticed that in myself, really.
I mean, I have, personally. Yeah. And I know other women have, but I also have noticed that, like, when I'm menstruating, too, which is, like, the opposite part of the cycle. It's getting rid of things. And it, I don't know. Hormones are weird. But I wouldn't say it's only that one time.
It's like, are you in a good mood? Are you, like, comfortable? Are you happy? Are you sad? I mean, there's so many different factors that go into sexuality.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're too complicated.
But if anyone has any questions, they're welcome to ask them. But, yeah, this has been awesome. I'm glad that we finally got to do the show. 'Cause it took, I think this was try number 4. Or 5, so.
Wait, what'd you say? Try number 4 or 5? Oh, yeah, no, we had some issues. But, yeah, we got it working, which is good, because I'm really happy that we got to, because we already had to kind of take a break from the topic last week, so I'm really glad we got to follow up on it, or else it would have been, like, weeks and weeks after, and it's like, no, let's, you know, let's tie it all together.
So,
any more questions? Anyone say anything else?
No, I don't think anyone has any more questions. Of course, not as many people are in the chat. So, you know, usually.
I know this time of day.
Yeah, hopefully, I think next week I'll be able to do the 8 o'clock show again. It's just I'm working tonight. I don't usually work on Sundays, but we all know I need money. So,
right, I actually was supposed to work this afternoon, but my person was traveling, so. That it worked out then and you didn't have to go until later, so that did kind of pan out. That could have been even crazier, honestly. I got a hold of her last night and she was like, no, like, don't come in. So, you know, I was home.
Someone just asked us to tell them the positive things about all the positive aspects in regard to all you have learned about health. The most positive thing that I've learned is that women's bodies are perfectly designed to carry and birth a baby, and it can be very easy and ecstatic and in some cases orgasmic. I can't speak from personal experience because I haven't had a baby yet, but I've heard from other women, and I think we are just being completely lied to, and I think it can be the most beautiful and life-changing experience ever. So that's something really positive that I learned through all this mess.
I guess I'll say that just we have ingrained intuition and it's there and we just have to work on honing it. And that in combination with how nature will always reign, I think we'll be fine in regard to becoming healthier people, having healthier children, and ultimately having a healthier world and society. So it's definitely, it's a place where you have to take actions to, counteract what's being pushed and what's normalized. But at the same time, it also goes in at a deeper level and it involves a lot of, inner listening.
Oh yeah, definitely. Which is a tool that we almost, it's like a muscle we have to, work out and every day, because it's atrophied. We haven't used that intuitive muscle in years, so it's like rehabilitating a debilitated muscle.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it takes time. It definitely takes time, but you know, it's possible, and you just have to know that on a personal level, that you won't be taken down by something. Like, just keep pushing ahead.
Yep, And it makes me happy to think that my children will never have to experience these things. You know, that never have to go to a gynecologist, or, you know, they'll be taught the truth about their bodies, and I will learn by teaching them, you know, and they'll teach me. So yeah, someone just said, once you have a baby, your priorities change, less desire for sex. No, I'm sure in the beginning, yeah, because you're just adjusting to having a new person, and your body is adjusting too. But I've heard stories of women getting pregnant like a month after having a baby. So that's not.
Yeah, I mean, how do big families happen, you know?
Exactly, so yeah.
Going at like rabbits, I guess.
As long as, you know, everybody's happy. And this is the thing. If a woman is able to give birth naturally without being cut open and cut into, then, you know, her body bounces back real quick. And she doesn't have, you know, an episiotomy scar that has to heal, and you know, which makes intercourse painful and can ruin intercourse for a woman for the rest of her life. So, you know, and everybody's different. But I say if you have support from your partner, and you love each other, you guys will figure it all out. So, yeah. I guess that's a good question, though. That's a really good question. But everybody's different. Every relationship is different. But I think the most important thing is support, family support, when having a newborn, so people aren't getting like stressed out, and just having a knowledge of breastfeeding, which is another topic we should get into another time, because breastfeeding is something that we learn through watching others. Mm-hmm. We're not allowed to watch breastfeeding. It's not allowed to happen in front of us. Whereas years ago, everyone would be breastfeeding, and you would just learn from watching people. It was just normal. But now we are clueless, a lot of us, as to how to do this, because no one ever showed us. We're not allowed to see it. It's not shown. It's kept, you know, we're covering babies up while they're breastfeeding, and oh no, don't show it. So, That's something that needs to change, so women will instinctually know how to breastfeed, because that can be very difficult when you have no support. And then you have these formula companies saying, oh, well, you can't breastfeed. We have formula. Woo, come get it.
Lots of GMO soy in it.
Yeah. And it's just so bad for the baby. But yeah, we need more support with breastfeeding, and they need to be encouraged, because a lot of women will think, oh God, I'm not working properly. My body's not working properly, but they're not supported to, oh, maybe just try this, or, oh no, you're fine. And in being encouraged. So that's important. But, yeah, it's been a really good show, Hex. I love talking to you.
I know. I love talking to you too. No, it's really great to talk about all these things that, like, unfortunately, I mean, some of my friends are on board, starting to question things a little bit, like, you know, laying on your back, well, it doesn't make sense. Circumcision, that's kind of fucked up and has no point. Like, you know, they're getting there a little bit, but, like, generally, yeah, I don't have anyone to ramble on with these kind of things, so it's really good to just, like, get it out and out of my brain.
Exactly, same, because I really don't, you know, I don't have any females to talk to about this, you know, which is, you know, it's important.
Right. You can't, and even if you do, like, you touch the surface and you can't get to the level that you want to go with it.
Very uncomfortable for people to talk about, but you and I have been looking into these topics for years, and we have so much knowledge that we just want to share. It's like, ah, we're bursting at the seams. So this is really nice to kind of compress all of this stuff that's been just accumulating in my head. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, because, like, it's the kind of stuff that could prevent you from sleeping at night if you don't expel it somehow. So, and I think that, you know, I think, you know, I'm not trying to sound, like, arrogant or anything, but, like, I think people hopefully will learn something new, and, you know, I just, especially with ladies, like, I really want them to, you know, I know a lot of them haven't had kids, or maybe have had a few, just, you know, rethink about their bodies, rethink about how they're going to go through these processes and gain a new perspective. Yeah. And I just like to think, at the very least, like, besides getting things out on a personal level, that maybe we're helping people, so.
Oh, I hope so, definitely. I hope that people will get something from this, because I... like cathartic for me. So
yeah, same.
Get as much as I do from the shows. So I guess we'll end it there. I don't know if I can play. I don't think I can play a song or anything. So we'll just end it kind of abruptly. But for everybody for contributing in the chat, I'm glad some of you guys got to catch it live. And maybe Kyle will play it at 8. I'm pretty sure that's the plan. So yeah, thanks.
All right. Well, thank you. Awesome.
Have a good day, everybody.
Okay, bye.